there in the water. Look, it'll shine. There goes a big one, that one of mine. Play out my reel now, just how I feel now. Look to my fly rod.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have the Grizz live and direct from La Paz, Baja California, sir, the city of peace, capital of Baja California, sir. And Grizz, of course, is the, well, he's not the mayor, but a lot of people think he runs the place.
Well, I keep my nose clean. That's about it. You can't run the place.
Yeah. I don't think you'd want to.
No.
But, yeah. But you have been a little bit busy. You know, Grizz, why don't we talk a little bit about fishing derbies?
Tournaments, fishing?
Yeah, and you let me come on your show the other day, and we kind of mentioned it a little bit. And I guess the point is, group trips or fishing tournaments or derbies, why? I mean, are some people that they when they go fishing, if there's anybody within 2 miles, then they pack up and leave because it's a very solitary thing. And we can certainly appreciate that. But there's different aspects of fishing and camaraderie, competition, you know, getting together with the family, you know, or and just getting outdoors, especially with some people that you care about and sharing the same experiences. Or, you know, it's a good thing for everybody. It's a good thing for your mental health and for your, you know, for the strength
well,
of your family.
Well, it could be good, you know, John, getting out there and being with the family, but that's not necessarily a tournament. You know, most of the tournament is turning up the bottle and hooping and hollering and competition and who's the baddest of the bad.
Well, there is some of that, yeah.
90% of it, I think. The thing that I don't like, let's talk about bass tournaments
okay.
for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they have the bass tournaments this time of year. They're starting now everywhere, yeah. the Bassmaster, all of that. And, you know, it's spawning time for bass. Now, you're out there catching fish off the nest. You are catch and release, but you throw it in a live well. You beat them up
yeah.
kind of bad.
Right.
I mean, a boat going 55 miles an hour over water to get to the weigh station is
yeah.
not exactly the comfort zone for
yeah.
a bass. Pull him out, put him in a plastic bag or something else, run him up to the scales, and then take him out and turn him loose. Now, this might be miles and miles
from where,
that
from
guy
where the
was
nest.
Spawning
yeah.
or that gal.
Yeah.
Now, is that good for a fish? Will that fish go back? Did they kill the fry? Did they kill the eggs? What happens? I don't think that fish is going back.
Hmm. Well, that part is true because it is catch and release, but they normally release them, you know, at the weigh-in station as opposed to putting them back where they found them.
Exactly right. And then throwing one in, picking them up by the lip, which isn't such a good idea anyway anymore because it stresses out the muscles in their mouth.
Yeah.
Pulling them up, hanging them up like that. You should grab them by the tail and cradle them. You shouldn't drag them out by the mouth because that's like grabbing us by the jaw and picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not great. Now, fish don't feel pain. However, they do have muscles and cartilage, and that stretches them depending on the size of the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Then flip them around, throw them in a live well. They beat each other up in the live well. Then we run up as fast as we can, weigh them in, and then turn them loose. We're knocking natural slime off of them. We're stressing the animal out. And I just really wonder, we glorify ourselves and say it's catch and release.
Uh-huh.
But is it true?
That's a good question. We'll do more into that. Now, of course, the billfish tournaments that you do, that you always, especially you always catch and release. It might put some stress on the fish, but I don't think it really harms them because they come up and then, of course, they release right where they were taken out of the water.
Well, you know, when you're doing a tournament with billfish,
mm-hmm.
you pop them. You know, you beat it all up. You don't pull them out of the water. You do not even put them in the boat.
Uh-huh.
The captain or the first man, when he can get that leader
right.
and
it's
bring them in, it's a legal fish just by touching the leader.
Right.
So you pop them, and then they go back. So they're not, sure they're stressed out from the fight, but that's not. But you're not handling them. You're not throwing them mm-hmm. in the boat. You're not grabbing them by the bill and sliding them across the gunwale of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a whole different ball game if you are doing catch and release.
Right. Well, here's another aspect, too, Grizz, is that I'm on the board of the Nature Center at Lake Kachuma. You know, it's a museum and nature center, and we have our Trout Derby, which is coming up in April, which we'd like to get some people to come out. It's April 16th and 17th. Now, previous to that derby, we're going to have 10,000 trout planted that were farm-raised. And what if you go up there and, you know, take one out, take it home, fry it, they're delicious. But
well,
they're
that's
designed,
a whole different
yeah.
story.
Mm-hmm.
John, that's comparing quail to chickens.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, quail are wild, and yeah. wild trout are wild trout, and yeah. a chicken is a domestic raised
yeah.
animal to eat.
That's a good
and
analogy.
That's what these
yeah.
trout are. They're,
yeah.
they're raised domestically to eat.
Yeah.
And also to catch. So, I mean, that doesn't count.
Yeah,
we can't even discuss it.
Also, they make good. Also, the bass really like them.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. But so there are different things. But the concept. Oh, what I was going to say is that it's getting kind of close. And I have a trip to Ketchikan, Alaska, coming up over the 4th of July weekend. And we've had, unfortunately, we've had some people that had to bail out. So I've got some spots, and it is an incredible. Normally, when you go to Alaska, if you haven't been there, you're looking probably, around $1,000 a day is what it, realistically, by the time it's all in. This trip is 5 nights, and it's less than $1,800. All inclusive meals, fishing, boat, tackle, vacuum packing. They have the larger deluxe boats. It's a deal that we've been doing every year, and we could use a few people join us this year. So if you're at all interested and you want some more information, we'd love to have you. And maybe if you can, you know, and it's a kind of a place, too, that, you know, you might bring a lady friend along and get her to fish or go into town and have a good time. Or just go up there and just watching the bald eagles is worth the trip itself. So if anybody is interested, we would love to hear from you. Yeah, I'm easy to find. It's john@fishtalkradio.com. Let's go to the website. So anyway, we'd like to make a push for that because it's 4th of July weekend is coming up pretty quick and want to get your airline stuff in there. Anyway, Grizz, thanks for letting me to take that time.
Well, it's your show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You can do whatever you want.
Well,
John,
you've got a lot of stuff coming up, too. We've only got about 2 minutes. But if anybody wants to do some real adventures, you've got a couple of very, very interesting opportunities. There's anything from just having a real easy trip that, or more of a hardcore fishing trip that people love the outdoors. And that one is it the Lavacana?
We got the Lavacana where you go back into the estuaries and fish, and then go out in blue water and fish. Cabins right there on the beach. I mean, great place, all accommodations, great food, everything perfect, great boats. And then we also got inland for those bass fishermen that want to fish. We got a lake, Aguamilpa, which I'll be going down in 2 weeks, which you could catch 120 fish a morning, and averaging 3 to 4 pounds, and you do
wow.
get some 10-pounders. I mean, they're not real common, but we pick one up about every time we go fishing there.
Wow. So whatever you want, either give me a call or get in touch with Grizz, and whether it's mainland Mexico, Baja, Pacific, Alaska, very, very reasonable,
Cancun,
affordable trips.
Tarpon fishing, yeah. bone fishing.
And where we're going to have to go, but another thing also is because of the fuel and competition, the airfares are probably cheaper now than they were 4 or 5 years ago.
That's true, John.
Okay. But anyway, Grizz, we're going to be coming back, and we're going to have a couple of experts about fishing line and bait coming up. That's very, very interesting, that I'm sure that you might even learn a few things from. So you are listening to Fish Talk Radio. Grizz, hang in. We'll be right back.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at VivaLaPaz.com. Viva La Paz!
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Santos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to R-E-E-L funadventures.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
He's a great American fishman. He can fish anywhere.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in the studio. We've been talking to the Grizz. Actually, just pretty much just talking, right, Grizz?
Well, but, that's basically all I do.
Yeah. But right now, we have another expert on the line with us, a very knowledgeable and gentleman that knows a little bit about fishing line because, Clay, I don't know if I can get it right. You're the director of sales for Berkeley Line. What is your title?
No, I'm not in the sales department. I am the senior brand product manager for the development of the lines, yes.
Okay. Well.
That's above being in sales, John. Get it right.
Brand manager.
We've got to get it distributed, though. I mean, I applaud my salespeople. They got a tough job. I mean, if you can't find it, then, I can't sell it to you. So.
Right. Well, we were talking the other day about some years ago when you had sponsored a tournament down in Baja, and your name was all over the place, but nobody carried it down there.
Yeah, that was a frustration at that time, but we're getting line back down there, and Latin American team is getting things going, and so it's improving.
Well, fishing line, used to be simple. You know, when they went from linen, I guess, to mono. And mono, you know, is basically just nylon. And, it, you know, they have different brands and different things. But really wasn't all that much difference between any of them. Some of them were more consistent in their diameter. So, you know, they were, you know, a little bit better quality. But wasn't a whole lot of difference. But in the last 10 years, wow. I mean, with the beginning of the Kevlar and the braid and the first stuff that came out, it worked, but it was, you know, it was not round. It would stack.
Yeah, Kevlar was brittle. Kevlar had some problems that I've learned since then that Kevlar was real. Ultraviolet light broke it down, and of course, you know, you fish in the sunshine, especially down.
Well, it was kind of oval shaped, and then you couldn't when you load it up on a reel, you have to put it tight. But even at then, if you got a big fish on it, would cut into itself and get tangled, and you lose the fish.
Yep, and now that we've moved to Dyneema, and Dyneema is the brand that we use, but then Spectra is a similar material. But those products are very, the ultraviolet light doesn't break them down, and then our engineers have learned how to, the better constructions, better weave, more carriers of the bundles of the individual fibers that you use, and the braid that Grizz keeps talking to me about. Our ProSpec professional saltwater braid, we use a very tight weave of 8 carrier Dyneema, and so it stacks well and it's smooth.
It would be like eight strands, you mean, that are woven together?
Yes, they're 8 strands. So there's 8. The little microfibers are, you know, imagine like braiding a girl's hair, and you know, so you've got a lot of hairs in a bundle of hair, and then you braid it.
Right.
So every one of those bundles of fibers are hundreds of little tiny microfibers. So you have these these strands, if you will, but they're more than that. So they're little bundles of fibers. And then each one of those bundles we call a carrier. And then those carriers are woven together. Mm-hmm. And the number of times you weave that in an inch are what a lot of people call, or what the industry calls, picks, or just the number of times. So there's looser weaves and tighter weaves. Looser weaves are cheaper because it goes faster when you make it.
Mm-hmm.
Tighter weaves are more expensive because time is money. It takes a long, long time to braid it. But when you get a tighter weave, you know, it holds it together better, obviously, but it resists abrasion better and some other things.
Well, that line, Grizz, I'll let you describe it, but I was so impressed with that because it's almost like a mono. It's perfectly round and smooth, and it doesn't feel like it's going to cut you. But
it'll cut you. Don't think it won't.
Well, don't get in the way of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll cut your arm off in a heartbeat.
Well, any of those strong lines. But
But you know what, John? You're talking about it. Something that's so impressive about it. Say you're fishing, jacks down on the bottom. You know, you're fishing. You're down 80 feet. And you're after amberjacks, and the amberjack is famous for grabbing it and headed into his hole, or a big snapper, mangrove snapper, something like that. They get you into the hole, and you can take this line. Now this is hard to believe, but you can take this line and try to, because you're hung in the rocks now. You're not going to get the fish out or your bait back, because if you're jigging, you literally have to break that line with the boat. Now, I'm talking about wrap it around the boat and make the boat break it, because you cannot do it with your hands.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's to your point about cutting, Grizz, it's like dangerous to take that kind of line and wrap it around your hands, especially when
there's a big fish pulling. Oh, yeah, it'll cut your hand off.
Yeah. And I heard, you know, we sell a lot also. I wanted to mention, under that same brand umbrella of ProSpec, we have a couple relatively new monofilaments, but we just introduced one called ProSpec Chrome. and it is a copolymer nylon mono. And I was on a trip, and I don't know nearly, not even a fraction of the saltwater stuff that you guys know, but I remember going out with the Dyneema people one time, and they were asking, you know, why isn't Dyneema on all these boats? And, you know, and the deck, they were saying, well, from the safety of the deckhands and things like that, we at least like to top shot it with mono, so that they might be able to wrap it around their hands and, you know, do some things they need to do. But the ProSpec Chrome we worked on with a bunch of our captains and guides, and what they were looking for are regular ProSpec mono that's just branded ProSpec premium saltwater mono. That is a more flexible formula that is used for live bait and for it, you know, releasing off your spool easy and letting the bait move naturally and all those sort of things, more castable. But then they wanted us to develop a line that would handle rigs, for example, where they could do, you know, the kind of outrigger things that they do, I guess, and the kite fishing and all kinds of things like that, and just a more abrasion-resistant mono. So our team got to work, and they were able to make a very abrasion-resistant mono that still wasn't stiff. Very, very nice. And our guys, the captains and stuff that are using it, we've had several reports that they say it's maybe the best saltwater mono they've ever fished of anybody's anywhere.
Well, I got to have some of that, Dan.
I was just going to say, Clay, you got my shipping address, right?
Yep, I'm going to send some down to both of you. And it comes in three colors. The one color that's really unique in the saltwater market, we've used it some in some freshwater fishing, but they're really liking it, is we call it blaze orange, and it's almost, you know, the kind of orange that you'd have like a traffic cone or something, and but clear, you know, transparent. And anyway, that orange color is much easier to see as the light conditions. It's great visibility during the day, but even in twilight, you can see the orange better than you can see like a chartreuse.
But it would still disappear in the water because of the spectrum.
Yes, and it contrasts a bit, you know, orange and blue, like Denver Broncos colors are complementary, you know.
Well, Grizz, would you put that as a top shot or, you know, on top of the ProSpec? Or the,
Either way. I mean, you can use it. If people are still fans of mono and you want to use it as your main line, go to it. If you'd like to use it as a top shot, it's excellent because it's got the toughness that you need. You know, the abrasion resistance, that's its main thing. The primary competitor we were going after is known. Their position and everything is hardness and toughness. And all of our tests show that we exceed them in that area, yet we're a little bit stronger and we're more flexible also.
Clay, the only other thing you can do for me is teach me how to tie mono to microbraid.
Yeah.
John, I could do that.
Yeah, Grizz could do that better. You know, there's the experts like Grizz know that for saltwater. I know how to do it in freshwater situations, but you know, darn walleye isn't going to pull a
No, they're kind of dumb, stupid fish, but good eating.
Yeah. Exactly. Like pulling up a wet sock, but they're delicious.
Yeah. I fished them up in Ontario. I was very disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't. Now, smallmouth bass, that's another story.
I love the smallies. I love them.
Yeah, smallmouth bass, and even a good crappie and a bluegill are like, you know, They're flat.
They can pull. They're kind of tough because it's kind of like a halibut where they've got a lot of resistance if they turn
sideways.
They
do, and one of my favorite things to do is like our micro braids, like Fireline and Nanofil. I like to fish ultralight equipment for panfish, and you get a big bluegill or crappie.
That's right, Nanofil. I think I got some of that a few years ago. I love that stuff.
Yeah, but put it on like a small spinning reel and a 5.5-foot ultralight.
Yeah.
And jig, just, you know, just little round ball jigs and some of our gulp, and it is just a blast.
Right. Well, we are running out of time. But Clay, I don't know how busy you are right now, but we have a friend of yours coming up in the next segment. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I think it was Mr. John Prochnow, the guru of all things Gulp and Powerbait.
I call him the mad scientist, but
he is.
But if you'd like to hang around and talk to him a little bit, that'd be awesome. Do you want to hang around a little bit?
Yeah, I could do that.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and see if we can get John Prochnow, who is in charge of product development for Berkley. And he's the guru that came up with Powerbait and Gulp, and who knows what he's working on now.
Yep. But, I'm not allowed to know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll be right back with you on Fish Talk Radio.
Stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500 you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts, glory, Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
Founded in 1697 as the capital of Las Californias, Loreto is a relaxing small Baja town with an international airport. Beautiful sandy beaches with snorkeling and fishing is available just in front of your resort. Old world charm, hospitality, and you will love the people and moderate climate. The Villa del Palmar at the Islands of Loreto, a luxury resort on the Sea of Cortez, is hosting its first Dorado tournament the end of June. Very affordable, lots of prizes, and world-class fishing. Contact Fish Talk Radio or Villa del Palmar, Loreto, and get your team together. Many other activities are also available. Fly into Loreto and a van will pick you up. Enjoy the great fishing, golf, exploring, water sports, or the spa. The Villa del Palmar will give you the best Baja at surprising value. Enter the first Villa del Palmar, Loreto's Dorado Tournament. Stay at the resort or we can recommend many fine accommodations. Villa del Palmar, Loreto.com.
Hi, I'm Bart Hall, and I'm back to tell you about the Fred Hall Show, March 17th to 20th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Who could have known that when my father started his first show in San Diego 40 years ago, that it would turn into San Diego's largest and most exciting sport fishing show, one of the nation's most prominent boat shows, and a world-class international travel and hunting show. We are proud of the fact that when you attend a Fred Hall Show, we will entertain you all day with hundreds of booths, acres of boats, over 200 seminars, and dozens of family fun activities. And when it's all over, you'll want to come back the next day to see what you missed. We invite you to come and join us and share in the 70-year legacy of the Fred Hall Shows as we celebrate the passion of fishing, boating, hunting, and the pure joy of outdoor recreation. Kids free, kids fish free, active military free. Join the Coastal Conservation Association of California and get in free. Check us out at fredhall.com. The Fred Hall Show, March 17th to 20th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Presented by Progressive.
It's a whale of a show.
Catching shallow, I can catch them deep. Open water or the back of the creek. The wind and rain to me, it's all the same. I make a living playing this game, and I thank the Lord.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. And we have Clay Norris, who is brand manager for Berkley Lines. And, gosh, how many different lines does Berkley have?
Oh, man. You're asking, you know, that's like a trivia question that even I've got to count them back up. But yeah. we've probably got,
I know you keep adding a dozen of the
main ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we've got some very specialized line. We've got a line like called Big Cat that we just got, four sizes of that's targeted for the catfish market and things like that.
Wow, that's incredible.
Now, that's getting pretty something now. You got catfish line.
Yep, we do.
Carp line?
Well, actually, you asked me that, and we are developing a major series of carp line right now for the European market. And I got an email up right now where I'm working with my team in the UK and in Central Europe to get the packaging style right and all of that. But I mean, it is over there, it is as big as the bass market is here. And
that's because they don't have anything else over there, Clay.
Pardon me?
They don't have anything but carp.
I know. They have another style of fishing that is called course and match fishing, where what we would call bait, they fish for and count. It's like how many of them you can catch in a certain amount of time. So they use these really tiny lines and really tiny presentations because it all counts. And I've got a friend that's like he worked for us for a long time, and he's like the European champion at this.
So. Well, I remember what you did with carp. You went to a pay pond, you took a lawn chair, you got a six pack, and you put it on a little stick, and you had a little clay or a little dough ball hanging down, and you just sit and watch the dough ball all day.
Yep. We've got some big carp, and I live on a slough that goes into one of our lakes, and a lot of carp in it, some nice size one, and my son caught a really big one and had a blast. But I'd like to adopt some of their techniques because they are hard fighting fish.
Clay and Grizz, we did find John Prock now. And John, welcome to Fish Talk Radio, but we finally got you in. I don't know where this came from, but Clay and Grizz were talking about catfish, right?
Yeah, we were talking about catfish first, but then it migrated to carp.
Okay.
I told him, John, that we had a specialized line called Big Cat, and then Grizz said, about carp? And then I went into all the carp
line. I wouldn't
line
be a bit surprised if John Prock now is probably working on either one or both of those, John.
Oh, yeah. We've got extensive experience with both of those, John. I want to say hello to Grizz.
Hi, buddy.
How you doing? But catfish is one we're really concentrating on now, and I've got some really hot new products out there with the research that's gone on into that over the years. We've got 20-plus years of experience and research on our catfish products, and it's starting to come to fruition now. We're getting a few out there, and we've got quite a few more that we're working on.
Hey, John, what about I just thought you were supposed to use rotten chicken livers.
That's what I use in pantyhose.
Oh, pantyhose.
That's a fallback position, but they get kind of messy and dirty. We've kind of cleaned it up, made it so it's not quite as stinky for the angler, but the fish still really like it.
Yeah. So you really are coming out with a catfish bait and a carp bait.
Well, the catfish is the one we're working on right now and is at the market. Carp, we're still kind of dabbling in. We did a little bit of research in Europe, and we're there for a while and got out of it over there. But the carp angling thing is still kind of in its infancy here in the U.S., so we're kind of doing a little bit of research in that, and as that picks up and gets bigger, I wouldn't doubt that we will have some products out for that, too. But the catfish is what we're really concentrating on right now.
Well, we're talking to Clay, he doesn't even know how many different lines Berkeley makes.
And I'm the manager.
We know it's more than a few. But, John, you're responsible, from what I understand, for it came out years ago, which kind of changed the industry, which is power bait. And then you did it again with Gulp. And this was done in a laboratory with a lot of science and research. And now you're talking about some of the other catfish baits. Is there anything else that
hey, John, let me interrupt a minute. I got to tell John my secret carp bait.
Okay.
It's water, flour, strawberry Kool-Aid, a little bit of cotton so it holds together, and garlic oil.
You better hurry up and patent that.
It really worked. I used to go to the pay ponds and do it.
Long silence.
Yeah, well, the reason it's silence because those are some of the things that that species will respond.
The what? I didn't hear you.
I said those are some of the things that the carp will respond to. I won't say they're the best or the only thing, but they are things that have generally been known to get carp to bite. Mm-hmm. And the configuration you're putting them in seems like it's usable. It stays on the hook is the main thing, and it gets out there, and the carp seem to respond to those different fruity flavor type things.
Okay. Well, John, give us an idea. Clay gave us a little bit about some of the new lines that are coming out, and you know, but they're not taking any of the old ones away. They just keep coming out with new ones. But give us some ideas. Is there anything new? I know that you've got some plastic bait that has gulp, which I guarantee works. I've seen it work. But is there anything else that people should be looking for this year?
Well, the one I really wanted to talk about, I already have, is the ProSpec Chrome Mono is pretty new to the marketplace. I was just talking to, we have a department here that obviously schedules all this line in our factory, and so orders come in, and they've got to decide the priorities and all of that to get things made. And Tracy in that department was telling me just yesterday that ProSpec Chrome is just kind of going crazy and was giving me the positive, especially the orange color and the blue. And she's been having to schedule a lot of it lately. So our sales team is doing a good job of getting it out there. And I heard that some good from both coasts. I mean, good feedback from the West Coast as well as the East Coast. And lots of people with positive reviews on the line so far. And we're getting ready. I can't mention one that's coming, but because it would be unfair to my own sales team, because at the end of April we have our sales meeting, but we do, of course, have a little bit of news, so we'll have a new product.
Well, you might want to put that in our goodie box, too. I promise we won't talk about it until it comes out.
Okay. Well, when I can get some to send, I will do that.
Okay. And John,
is it going to be fresh or salt water?
It does lean more fresh water. It does. Mm-hmm.
So your bass
fishing. I'm starting to do a lot of big bass fishing now inland. So.
Cool.
Always interested in new freshwater. I'm going to all the new lodges, and we're doing television shows in all of the new bass lakes.
Okay.
John Prock, now, as far as, you know, you've come up with so much stuff, but we know you don't just sit around and rest on what you've done. Is there anything interesting? You mentioned some of the freshwater baits. Is there anything saltwater that you're working on?
Yeah, we've got some saltwater things that we're working on a little bit. Actually, we're working on improving colors and formulations and things that will give the angler an added advantage out there over and above what gulp is even today.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say a lot more about it because of some of the things that are going on right now, but it's one of those things that's kind of a little teaser. Is just kind of watch for what's coming
okay.
out.
All right,
and it may not be the beginning of this season.
All right, well, we'll get you back on when you get a little bit more information. But you know, power bait that's been around for some time now is still probably the top seller of any artificial baits. And gulp, to me, I think gulp works better in salt water than it does in fresh. But
I disagree. I think it works equally well in both.
John Prock, now, do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, I do a little bit. It depends on the species, John, because we've heard some of that same comment back, and a lot of it is due to the angler and the type of fishing. For instance, the people that are doing the freshwater crappie fishing or the freshwater walleye fishing or the freshwater smallmouth bass fishing all have excellent results. all sing the praises of Gulf. Where we struggle a little bit, and I think it's because the species of the fish is more of a reactionary strike a lot of times, mm-hmm. and that's the largemouth bass.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and that's where there's a little thing that said, what are you catching the fish on? Well, whatever you're using.
Yeah.
And
well,
a lot of the anglers that are in the bass
we're gonna have to wrap it up, but it's just two 12-minute segments with two goods like you. We haven't had you on for a while, but it was great to have you both on, even though you're kind of two different branches of the same company, but two completely different things. Very, very interesting, and we're looking forward to what's going to be happening in the upcoming year and new products that are coming out. So I think we probably better get you on sooner rather than later, so when people are gearing up for the season, they'll know what to be looking for, and we appreciate that. Grizz, you're going to be hanging there.
I'll be around.
We'll be talking to you guys, and thanks a lot, John and Clay. We appreciate you taking the time.